Hello and welcome to Doc Talk. Today is International Women's Day, a global holiday officially recognized by the United Nations in 1975, with historical significance reaching as far back as the early 1900s. It's a day that celebrates the cultural, political, and socioeconomic accomplishments of women worldwide. For this episode of Doc Talk, we'll be celebrating women in the healthcare system with Dr. Heather Branling Bennett. Dr. Branling Bennett is the Society of Pediatric Dermatology's VP of Education and Career Development, as well as an associate professor at the University of Washington and Seattle Children's Hospital. In this conversation, she speaks of some of the advancements made by women in healthcare today and what could be done to further support women in the workforce. Thank you for speaking with us about women in the workforce, specifically healthcare. And clearly, we're not at a loss for subjects. There's a lot, both positive and negative, that we could talk about. I was hoping we could maybe start with talking about enrollment and graduation rates for women entering the healthcare system. Could you speak to maybe some of the changes that have occurred in recent years?
Well, I think the biggest change is that women are now the greater percentage of medical students out there. So I think it was in 2019 that there became greater than 50% of medical students enrolled in US medical students were female. So that's a big change. And I think I'm pretty sure ever since then, it's continued to go in the direction of more women than men. So right now there are still many more male physicians than female physicians, just based on the numbers of people that have graduated in years past. But if the trajectory keeps up, that will change.
Clearly, once these people enter the medical field, it's not like these complications that people have been talking about for decades just disappear. There's a lot of gender biases and representation issues in professional and clinical areas. So could you maybe talk about some of the discrepancies in maybe compensation and promotional opportunities? I know you mentioned there's more women entering the workforce, but they still have to maybe deal with those struggles to be promoted or to have the respect that they deserve.
Well, I mean, the biggest challenge is that there's still a lot more men in especially leadership positions. So we have less female role models, and that is evolving and changing to a degree, but still there's a far greater percentage of men in higher academic ranks, for example. So professors versus associate professors versus assistant professors, there's a lot more men, and I don't have the statistics off the top of my head. But it means that it's more challenging for us to see role models of females in those leadership positions. So, compensation is also varies. And I don't have the statistics off the top of my head for that either. But, part of that is represented in our difference in promotion. But also, I think even the same level of promotion, there's often a discrepancy in what women are paid versus men.
You work with SPD, and I know that they recently issued a handout that spoke about pediatric dermatology and careers in pediatric dermatology. So could you maybe talk about some of the benefits of being involved in pediatric dermatology?
Pediatrics and dermatology are two fields that have even more women than men joining them. And particularly pediatrics historically has had more women than men. Although still, if you walk down the halls of the children's hospital, the number of men in all the pictures of leadership in our department versus women is striking. But there are definitely more female role models that we have in the world of pediatrics. And dermatology has also over years, more recent years, taken over more female residents and now more female dermatologists than male dermatologists. So we do have that going for us, and especially in pediatric dermatology, we have combined more women than men. And so that is really nice. The Society for Peds Derm in that brochure looked at compensation. One of our goals really there was to look at pediatric versus adult dermatology. I don't know that we broke it down by males versus females. We probably have that data. It's not in the brochure that you're referring to. And I think, we are lucky that by and large, pediatrics is really thoughtful about women in the workforce. And dermatology is having to learn that as well fairly quickly.
And of course, like you mentioned previously, this does affect the professional side. If you're a resident, a female resident, and you see a doctor, it's something to aspire to. You know that you have a voice in that community. But I was hoping maybe we could talk about how that broadens conversations with patients as well.
Yeah, you know, it was fun. I was in a clinic today this morning. I would do a monthly combined clinic with one of our pediatric rheumatologists. And we had a fellow both from pediatric rheumatology and from pediatric dermatology in the room. And we went in to see a mom and her daughter, and all of the four providers there were women. And the mom said to her girl, "Oh my goodness, this is amazing. Look at this, honey. You have four doctors, female doctors helping take care of you. This would never have been the case when I was a kid." And I thought that that was really neat for the mom to notice that and to point it out. And she was really excited, sort of telling her seven-year-old daughter, like, "Look, isn't this so cool that you have more women than men, you know, taking care of you?" And then it was funny. A few minutes later, we went into a room with a 14-year-old male patient. And the mom sort of made a joke, "Oh, look at all these women, you know, looking at your skin." And he said, "It's cool." And I thought, wow, that's pretty awesome. That even this 14-year-old guy was like, "Hey, that's really cool. I've got four female doctors taking care of me." So I think it's neat that patients can see the value in it. And it, you know, it's definitely gives a different perspective, both for, you know, our care that we provide. And, you know, I think the patients really like seeing that diversity and notice the difference.
Continuing with that thought, I mean, it's really great that these patients and their parents had that response. What would you like to see maybe in, and this is a very broad question, but maybe in the next 5 or 10 years, maybe the response is like, "Oh, well, this is exactly how it should be." I mean, of course, they're very excited, but do you see that becoming just the norm, that there's just more women in healthcare?
I think it obviously is becoming more of the norm, since you've got over 50% of medical students being female, and more people are just going to get used to that. And so I think that maybe wouldn't be noticed in 20 years from now. People will just expect it, as opposed to that mom who was really struck by having four female physicians in one room. So I think that that trend is definitely changing. And, you know, there is definitely a concerted effort to try to make sure that women have opportunities for promotion, and making sure that we're more represented in leadership positions and things like that. And so I think that change is going to continue to happen. And I think a downstream effect of that will be greater thoughtfulness about how we need to support women in the workforce in general. I think that this pandemic we're going through has really shown us how women struggle in the workforce, and the number of different roles we play in our professional and our personal lives, and how we need to figure that out to better support people and make sure that they can stay a vital part of the workforce.
Could you just speak to some of those struggles and maybe how they can be overcome in certain ways? Maybe it involves more work from the higher up, from management, or what can be done?
I think, you know, this answer might vary depending on the woman you ask and the stage in their life that they're at. For me, as a working mother, the biggest challenge for me has been childcare and trying to figure out, as my kids have gone through different stages, how to be there to support them, how to find childcare for my children. And, you know, feel like I have that piece figured out, and that they have all the care that they need, but that I also am able to do my job. But I don't want to dismiss that that's not an issue. You know, I think a lot of times when we talk about women in the workforce, we focus on being a mother, and there are a lot of women in the workforce who are not mothers. And I don't want to not say that their struggles are not equally valid. I think women in general tend to be caretakers. So maybe they're not taking care of their own children, but they're taking care of their siblings or their elderly relatives. And so we play a lot of those roles in caretaking. And even in the, you know, on the work front, we tend to do a lot of that emotional support, both for our colleagues and for our patients. There's interesting studies that have shown that patients expect us to be emotionally there for them more so than a provider, that they expect us to spend more time with them, that they expect us to ask more about emotional issues, and that their expectations of us vary based on our gender. So I think that there needs to be some recognition of that, that maybe women aren't, and female providers aren't going to see as many patients as a male provider, because we are expected to just spend more time with our patients. And then, you know, we tend to be caretakers of our colleagues too. So, you know, people joke, you know, you're the work mom, aren't you? Because I throw the holiday party every year and I make sure that, you know, special events are being noticed. And I actually enjoy doing that. And so I take that on, but it is, you know, an extra burden that women often carry, some more willingly than others. I, you know, appreciate you guys recognizing International Women's Day. It's, you know, I think people more and more so are recognizing the importance of bringing these discussions up. And I think, you know, as I said earlier, I think we just need to figure out how we need to support women in the workforce, because I think we've learned that women are a vital part of the workforce. And if we don't put the right support in place, we will lose that part of the workforce. And we don't want that.
We'd like to thank Dr. Bramling Bennett for being on the program, and thank you for listening. If you want more news on women's health, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back this Thursday with another episode of Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.